We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. We set sail on this new sea because there is new knowledge to be gained and new rights to be won. And they must be won and used for the progress of all mankind. We shall send to the moon 240,000 miles away from the control station in Houston, a giant rocket more than 300 feet tall, made of new metal alloys, some of which have not yet been invented, capable of standing heat and stresses several times more than have ever been experienced, fitted together with a precision better than the finest watch, carrying all the equipment needed for propulsion, guidance, control, communications, food, and survival, on an untried mission to an unknown celestial body. And therefore, as we set sail, we ask God's blessing on the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure on which man has ever embarked. Thank you.
Like a person waiting in the wings to go on stage, they probably have less time to daydream because they're trying to remember what they've got to do. You know, I had a feeling that I really ought to concentrate on remembering the things that I had to do at the moon and all that.
Saturn launch control, all still go on the Apollo mission, the flight to land of the first men on the moon. The spacecraft also now is on full internal power. So up to this time, it had been sharing the load with an external power source. Once we get down to the 3-minute and 10-second mark in the countdown, we'll go on an automatic sequence. All aspects from there on down will be automatically run by the ground master computer here in the firing room. We have some 7.6 million pounds of thrust pushing the vehicle upward. The vehicle it weighs the computer here in the firing room. We have some 7.6 million pounds of thrust pushing the vehicle upward. The vehicle it weighs close to 6.5 million pounds.
We all are in this together as a team effort. We're going to make it work. And I don't know how to make it work. I don't know how to do most of this mission. But I do know that I can assure you that my piece of it is going to work. And you won't fail because of me.
The members of the launch team here in the control center monitoring a number of what we call red line values. These are tolerances we don't want to go above and below in temperatures and pressures. They're standing by to call out any deviations from our plans. All indications coming in to the control center at this time indicate we are go. The test supervisor now has informed launch vehicle test conductor you are go for launch. 3 minutes, 25 seconds and counting. We're still go at this time.
There's a long period of time where you've done all the things in the cockpit you can do, and there are very few things left to say. You don't know any new jokes to tell. There's just not much left to say except just sit there and wait.
It feels good.
Astronauts report it feels good. 1 minute, 25 seconds and counting. Our status board indicates the third stage completely pressurized. Guidance system goes on internal at 17 seconds, leading up to the ignition sequence at 8.9 seconds. Power transfer is complete. Command coming in now. We are on the automatic sequence. T-minus 60 seconds in
countdown.
All the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting.
It won't fail because of me.
T-minus 20 seconds and counting. Guidance internal. 15, 14, 13. 12, 11, 10, 9, engines on, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, launch commit.
just like it sounds.
I got a pitch and a roll program, and this baby is really going.
Roger that. Stand by for mode 1 Bravo. Mark 1 Bravo.
That's a lovely liftoff. That's not bad at all.
It's a moment there just of supreme elation, complete release of tensions. To feel all that power precisely directed, know that we're on course, first of all, for Earth orbit, and then precisely inserted onto the right orbit, right trajectory for rendezvous with the moon.
Apollo Houston, you're right smack dab on the trajectory. Your IU's doing a beautiful job.
I got a yaw program.
Trajectory's good. Thrust is good.
Run away, Houston.
At last, I'm leaving the Earth, and I'm destined for the moon.
What a ride. What a ride.
Roger. We copy, Pete.
Roger. Looks good up here, too.
Roll's complete.
This is really a rock and rolling ride.
You can feel it shake. There's a real strong vibration. Of course, you're up at the end of this beauty. Here you are going along with the G on you. It's up to about 4 Gs, but you're psyched up, good shape and all that. Even lifting your arm to move switches, no problem.
You are go for staging.
Here you are coming up on staging, and when staging happens, it's like, man.
CMC or I'll go.
Thank you, Joe.
Houston, you're looking good here, right down the center line.
That was shut down, right on the money.
17 Houston, you are go for orbit. Go for orbit.
And we're out over the Canaries.
Thank you.
Let there be light.
First feelings of weightlessness as it hits you is like going down a country road about 60 miles an hour and a car goes over the bump and your stomach goes up into your throat, and then you get over the bump and you get that good sensation feeling, and then bomb, you're back down again. Only when you're in space and you go into weightlessness, you go over that bump and you never come down.
Your program alarm was an integration problem. Can you give us a verb 96 enter to stop your integration? And we'd like you to do an EMOD dump. Give us a 3-2-1 mark when you do your verb 74. And if we get it done now, we should have an answer for you on your erasable memory by the time you get to Wimus. Do a verb 96 first.
We had a great deal of difficulty paying attention to what our job was. Already I was getting the impression that this is such an amazing thing that I'm going to forget these things. I know I'm going to lose this image, it's going to be replaced with another. Each image came up, was there for a flash to be appreciated and savored, and then reluctantly let go because you know that it's going to be superposed with others.
And Houston, we're beginning to see a beautiful sunrise here.
Apollo 13 flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Fido.
We're go flight.
Guidance.
Guidance, go.
Surgeon.
Go flight.
Ecom.
We're go flight.
GNC.
We're go.
Telmuse.
Go.
Control.
Go flight.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Thank you.
time away in our transit out to the moon. And it's rather odd to see it floating like this in Odyssey while it's playing the themes of 2001.
Oxygen in the service module, which provides breathing oxygen for the crew.
Apollo Houston, try SCE to auxiliary, over.
NCE to auxiliary.
SCE to auxiliary.
Okay, let's make sure that we don't do anything that's going to blow our CSM electrical power with the batteries or that will cause us to lose fuel cell number two.
Panel 276, under instrumentation power control. Open CB number 3 and number 4.
Close the SN feed 1 and 2 circuit breakers. Cycle the Parker valve, and then open the SN feed circuit breakers on panel 11.
The weather had gotten quite bad at the Cape, and we had now gotten down to where it was about a 600-foot overcast, and the tops were supposed to be 20,000 feet, and it was raining quite heavily. And at that time, they had to make a decision whether the launch rules as we had them would be violated, and they were concerned with were there any thunderstorms in the area, and we agreed we wanted to launch. If you slipped one of those launches, if you missed the window, you missed for 28 days. I told them the Navy was always glad to do the all-weather testing for them. And didn't take me very long to regret that statement.
36 seconds into the flight, the Apollo spacecraft is twice hit by lightning.
The conditions were such that we generated our own lightning, which discharged. That was a rather sizable event. You know, I'm sitting there with the abort handle, and I can abort $365 million worth of going to the moon vehicle, and I really didn't want to do that, but also didn't want to wind up in orbit with a dead spacecraft, or we'd be in deep trouble also.
We're seeing out our problems here. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure we can get hit by lightning.
We've had a couple of cardiac arrests down here too, Pete.
There wasn't any time for that up here.
I felt that we'd had such a tremendous glitch that for sure we weren't going to get to go to the moon. We'd probably go around a couple of times and come home and try it again sometime. And the decision was made that we'd keep on going.
Hello, Houston. Yankee Clipper with Intrepid in tow has arrived on time. Just like everybody else that just arrived, they're all three of us are plastered to the windows looking.
Yeah, for the Navy troops, it doesn't look like a very good place to pull liberty, though.
And by the way, welcome to the Moon's Fair. You're in the influx.
One of the things different about a lunar trip is you don't pass any place on the way. Going to the moon, you leave the launch pad, then you leave Earth orbit, and then a couple of days later, after passing nothing, all of a sudden you're at the moon. And that lack of waypoints to me had an effect of making it seem a little magical or mystical getting there.
This is really a rugged planet.
We're drawing closer to the moon with the Apollo spacecraft.
Our LOS clock, loss of signal clock, continues to count down until that time that the spacecraft will pass out of communications range over the backside of the moon. On approach, the spacecraft sort of dives towards and behind the moon.
It was a totally different moon than any moon I had ever seen before. It was in this eerie shadow, no motion, utterly silent. It sort of gave one a feeling of foreboding. It didn't seem like a very friendly or welcoming place.
Apollo, this is Houston. Your go for LOI.
Go ahead, Houston.
Jim, you are go for the burn. Go for the burn.
Okay, Apollo 8 is go.
You're going too fast to orbit the moon. You're rocking on ready.
Hey, 2 minutes, babe. Give it a final trim. Burn time is 15 seconds, so it's going to go in a hurry.
You're in the burn position. You're ready to go.
Baby, let's make this one.
Then you look, and there it is.
35 seconds.
And it's 2001 type stuff. The old moon is just growing magnificently fast, and it's just filling up that hatch window, and you're drifting into the shadow.
Okay, baby. 8, 7, 6, 5, 3, 2, 1, burn. Burn.
Roger, Snoop. You're burning.
More to go.
You're burning.
100 to go. Okay. 78 to go, 50 to go, 20 to go. Stand by, Tom.
Shut down.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Charlie Houston, he got the burn off. We're in good shape.
Well, I tell you, we is down among them. It's going backwards. You know that?
You've worked so long and so hard, and finally you're here. The burn has gone well. You know you're in lunar orbit. You know the orbit is good. You're right where you wanted to be. I mean, it just looked like you could reach out and touch it.
Apollo now traveling over the backside of the moon. The crew should be seeing the features, the rugged features, moving below them at a high rate of speed.
Oh, Charlie, we just saw Earth's eyes, and it's got to be magnificent.
Charlie, it might sound corny, but the view is really out of this world.
Okay, Davey, you ought to start getting your hatch closed.
Say again?
You ought to start getting your hatch closed if you're not already doing it.
I was disappointed. I wanted to go with them so bad I could taste it. As far as I was concerned, that was what it was all about. Not only going to the moon, but going down the surface and walking.
We're now less than 2 minutes away from the separation burn, which will be performed by the command module. When next we hear from them, the lunar module should be undocked from the command and service module.
You'll never know how big this thing gets when there ain't nobody in here but one guy.
Yeah, don't get lonesome out there, John.
I wish I could go down there with him. You may not talk about it very much, but part of your training is coming back by yourself.
See you later.
Wish the damn thing could hold three people. Thank you.
It's grown quite quiet here in Mission Control. A few moments ago, Flight Director Gene Kranz requested that everyone sit down, get prepared for events that are coming, and he closed with good luck to all of you.
Get going. We is down among them, Charlie.
Roger, I hear you weaving your way up the freeway.
You're going right down US-1, Mike.
Right, copy. Looks great.
Okay, all flight controllers, gonna go for landing. Retro.
Go.
Econ.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guidance.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
Eagle, Houston, and you're go for landing. Over.
Okay, Houston, we'll give you a countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
There it is. Oh, baby.
See, it's sure coming down to that ground. Look at that rail. That's gotta be probably Diamondback right there.
When it pitches over and you get your first look, you know, there was nothing but 9 million craters after the terrible sinking feeling. Obviously didn't recognize a thing after studying all these photographs. Nothing looked right.
How you doing, Control?
We look good here, fine.
How about you, Telcom?
Go.
Guidance, you happy?
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Roger, you're a go. You're a go to continue power descent. You're a go to continue power descent.
Roger.
All during this powered descent, I kept telling myself, Jim, this is not for real. You're back in the simulator. Just remember that.
Eagle, Houston, it's descent to fuel to monitor. Over. Eagle, Houston, everything's looking good here. Over.
Houston, I'm getting a little fluctuation in the AC, voltage now.
Roger. Stand by. Looking good to us. You're still looking good.
Houston, you're looking at our Delta H.
That's affirmative. Looking good to us. Over. Eagle, Houston, we'll monitor
that's
your Delta H.
That's going beautifully.
6+25, throttle down. 6+25, throttle down.
Roger, copy. 6+25. Let me try auto again now, see what happens.
We got data dropout. Roger, stand by.
We're going, that alarm.
If it doesn't reoccur, we'll be go.
We're going, that alarm.
Roger, understand. Go for landing.
Roger, we got good data.
Altitude, velocity, light.
Eagle, we got you now. It's looking good. Over.
4 forward, drifting to the right a little. Coming down to 23. 21 down, 33 degrees.
We're go, same type, we're go.
Picking up some dust.
And a couple of big boulders.
Coming right, got a good spot.
Not too bad. There comes a shadow.
Oh, are we coming in? Stand by for touchdown. Stand by.
Base here. The Eagle has landed. There's a cheer in this room. What we're witnessing now is man's very first trip into space with a station stop along the route.
We got a stay, Houston.
Eagle, you are safe for T1.
This thing came to a stop on the moon. There was kind of a letdown saying, you know, we're going to have to get it going fast again to get back home.
Neil, this is Houston. What's your status on hatch opening?
Okay, Houston, I'm on the porch.
Neil, this is Houston, loud and clear. Radio check and verify TV circuit breaker in. Roger, TV circuit breaker's in. Houston, Roger, we copy and we're standing by for your TV.
I'm gonna pull it down. Houston, the Mesa came down, all right.
And we're getting a picture on the TV.
Got a good picture, huh?
Hey, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
The surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. I'm at the foot of the ladder. I'm going to step off the limb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I had a bet with somebody who didn't really felt that Neil spent a great deal of time before he went figuring out his famous words, and they were not extemporaneous on the spot historical words. He actually felt that these words might have even been written for Neil by somebody else. And I said, well, I'll bet you $500 that when I get to the bottom of the ladder and nobody ever remembers what the second person to do something does anyhow, I'm going to say it may have been a small step for Neil, but it's a big step for a little fellow like me.
Ready for me to come out? Okay.
Now I want to back up and partially close that, making sure not to lock it on my way out.
So this person said, no way you're going to do that. I'm going to tell you what to say. I said, okay, bet's a bet. So I bet this person $500. So when I got to the bottom of the ladder, I said,
man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me.
This is Apollo Control Houston at 104 hours, 31 minutes now into this historic mission.
The lunar surface temperature in the sun should be around 135 degrees today. In the shade, the temperature would again be about minus 100 to minus 150 degrees Fahrenheit. That would be in the shadow of the lunar module.
Oh, look at that. It's a panoramic scene of beauty.
That is the best sample we got. I know it. I'll tell you.
You just had to steal time now, and you just had to stop chipping at a rock and figure out that bringing back a little bit of some kind of thought and feeling was as important as bringing another chunk of rock back.
And not being a machine, but being a human being, you have to stop and say, do you know where you are and what you're looking at? And try and take in those few moments of privacy you have, everything there is to take in that moment.
And you've got 5 minutes here.
And all of a sudden, you've got to get to work.
Here in the wonders of the unknown at Hadley, I realize there's a fundamental truth to our nature. Man must explore.
One of the things you got to stop and do, make sure, is to have fun, too. Because you're only probably going to come this way once.
I was strolling on the moon one day in a merry, merry month of December.
Now,
May, when much to my surprise, a pair of bunny eyes.
Boy, is this a neat way to travel.
Isn't it great?
It was almost dangerous. You lose sight of the fact that it's a vacuum out there, and if you spring a leak next to it, you're gonna be dead.
Uh-oh. Man, Tony, you don't know how much fun this has been.
We concur, John.
Having gotten away from the spacecraft, I was able to really realize what this place was like that we had landed in. I had tried to anticipate what it would be like for many years, but it was obvious that there was no way one could have anticipated what it would be like to stand in the valley of Taurus Littoral, a place deeper than the Grand Canyon and equally as spectacular, see this brilliantly illuminated landscape with a brighter sun than anyone had ever stood in before, with a blacker than black sky. And then to top the whole scene off in this blacker than black sky was a beautiful, brilliantly illuminated blue marble that we call the Earth. The path of evolution is now in space, as much as on Earth. Man has showed that as a species, mankind was willing to commit itself to living in environments that were completely different than those in which the species evolved. We put a shield of life around ourselves in order to protect the life within, but the willingness to go out there is there. We've shown that. The curve of human evolution has been bent.
Okay, it's time to load up right now.
I felt like I was an alien as I traveled through space. But when I got on the moon, I didn't feel that at all. I felt at home there, even though the Earth was a long ways away. We could see it directly above, about the size of a marble, and realize that we're there. But by the grace of God, I felt like I was at the end of a thin cord that could be cut at any time. It was precarious, but yet I felt comfortable. I felt something other than just what we can visually sense. A spiritual presence was there. Perhaps it is because so many people on the Earth were focusing their attention. They were maybe sending signals to us somehow. I sensed, I guess in a way, much like maybe the first man on the Earth would have sensed, like Adam, or perhaps Eve, as they were standing on the Earth and they realized they were all alone. There was no one else on the Earth, but yet they had that special communication. And I guess it was similar to the feeling I had on the moon when I realized that Dave Scott and I were the only two on this vast planet, another world. We were the only two there. We felt an unseen love. We were not alone.
Hi, big guy.
Hi there, Charlie.
Some 7 minutes, 22 seconds away from ignition on the LIM ascent back into lunar orbit.
Capcom? Ecom. Surgeon. GNC.
Guidance, you happy?
Go.
Fido.
Go.
AFD. We don't have an AFD.
No.
FAO. Network. Recovery. Capcom, we're go for liftoff.
Tranquility Base, Houston, you're cleared for takeoff.
Roger, understand. We're number one on the runway.
The moon is different. It's become man's first outpost, our first footstep in space, where man was able to look back at the Earth and see the Earth and see himself in a different perspective.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition.
As you leave, you're leaving this unbelievably beautiful, naked, charcoal ball out there in space. And you've been around the moon. You've been on it. You're seeing something that's familiar to you. That's home. That's where we live. There's where we left the the lunar rover, and there's where we explored, and there's the mountains and the valleys. And it is, in a sense, has been a home, a life-sustaining home for you. And when you leave it and you see those things, you leave it with the same kind of feeling and awe that you left the Earth with several days earlier.
When we were about 30 minutes from rendezvous in the command module, Pete said to me, "You want to fly this thing?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'd like to fly it." As I took the controls, I thought, "Well, wait a minute. The people on Earth in Mission Control aren't going to like this." And to show how he thinks about things, he said, "Don't worry about it. We're on the backside of the moon. They'll never know."
We set sail on this new sea because there is new knowledge to be gained and new rights to be won, and they must be won and used for the progress of all mankind.
As time goes on, I truly do believe that you're able to pull out of the subconscious a great many things that you absorbed in those moments while you were there looking back at the Earth. And I can almost transform my body, certainly my mind, through time and space instantaneously to that spot on the moon. I know where I am when I look at the moon. It's not just some abstract romantic idea. It's something very real to me. Stars are my home.